In the beginning, the word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light, he was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness come through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us." Do you know him? Do you know him? Here's my thing. Let's get my thing. There's different layers, different levels of knowledge, and that's like a pyramid that I think a guy called Bloom produced, and he said, you know, there's a whole lot of steps before we actually know something, and you can start with knowledge of facts, and then if you're really good, you might understand what those facts mean, and then the next step is to actually apply what those to apply the facts to real-world situations. And then if you're really bright, you can analyse, you know, where does this thing work? Where does it fail? And then synthesise means you actually put different bits of knowledge together to make something new. And finally, you evaluate it. And a lot of us, when it comes to Jesus, when we say that we know Jesus, a lot of people are at the bottom end of that pyramid. We know a lot of facts about Jesus, and you know, you might have looked at that video and thought, yes, I agree with that. I agree with what he says. You know, he's the King of Kings. Yes, tick that one off. He's all those bits of alliteration that I can never remember. He's enduringly strong. Tick that one. Yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. Yes, I know that. But that doesn't mean that you know Jesus. There are people in the world who know lots of facts about Jesus, but they don't know the person of Jesus. There are people that know the history of his life, that he was born in, you know, 6 or 7 BC, whatever it was, and that he was born in Bethlehem, and, you know, and that he died and through his... they don't know the person of Jesus. When I went to theological college, I was amazed at the knowledge of some of the guys there that knew intricate facts about the scriptures and about theology. There was one guy that he learned a whole language so that he could read this inscription on a stone from, you know, Ugaritic or some vague language that was about something that related to something in the Old Testament. I can't remember the details, but he sat down and he figured out this language and its writing scheme and the grammar and things. So he could read this thing in its original language, so he says. So he could say, yes, the people who translated that are right, so that when they say it relates to this bit of the Bible, well, yes, there's a comparison there. Very brilliant man. I mean, you know, I struggle with other languages. Some of us struggle with English, you know, but brilliant man. But not talking about this guy in particular, but some of the guys at college, some of the lecturers at college who were very brilliant and knew a lot of facts about Jesus, I was convinced they didn't know Jesus that well. because of the way they lived, the way they spoke, the way they acted, and the way they thought. So we can know a lot of facts about Jesus, but not know about him. If you go back to the time of Jesus, it said on that thing there, the Pharisees rejected him. They knew a lot about the scriptures. When the wise men came to King Herod and said, "Oh, we've heard there's a king being born. We don't know where, but we saw a star in the east. Yeah, tell us where this new king is." Herod called for his scribes and they said, "Where was this king to be born? Where's the Messiah to be born?" They knew the exact location, Bethlehem, but they didn't recognise that baby that was born on what we call Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, that he was the Messiah they were looking for. And as he grew up, and as Jesus did all these miracles, people who knew what the Messiah was up to or was supposed to do still didn't recognise that Jesus was the one that they were waiting for. These people with great knowledge about the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, and the scriptures and the traditions, and they still missed it. So do you know him, or do you just know about him? We might be in a place of commitment where we've decided that, yes, our knowledge of Jesus leads us to this conclusion that he is who he says he is, and that therefore we should go to church, go to cell group, give generously. There are people that have lived all their lives going to church week after week after week, being involved in everything that church does and having generous hearts and always paying their tithes and all this sort of stuff. And they're at a place of commitment, but they still don't know Jesus. It's a bit like being married. Marriage is a commitment. But if you don't love your spouse, it's no guarantee of a relationship. Just because you exchange vows, then there's no guarantee that it's going to be a relationship there. There's something different required. Some people know Jesus like at a heart level, I guess is what we call that. They've got this affection about Jesus and they love him and they know that they're saved. And that they know that he loves them. But something else is required. This is a sort of a relational sort of love. So you've got the knowledge, you've got an intellectual knowledge, you've got a commitment sort of knowledge, and then there's a relational sort of knowledge. And in Song of Songs 2:16 it says this: "My beloved is mine and I am his." And that's the sort of relationship that God wants from us, or Jesus wants from us, that we know we are loved by him and that we love him. But there's another step, another way forward, and it's intimacy. And that's the sort of relationship God wants. Intimacy, there's this sort of cycle in our relationship with other people. And so you can start at any point on that cycle. But, mutual understanding leads to a deepening commitment, leads to personal sharing of thoughts and feelings, which leads to mutual understanding. I guess the place of intimacy is this, that it doesn't matter what God does, the ways in which we think God has let us down, we'll love him anyway. And we understand that, and we know in our hearts that it doesn't matter what we do to him, he will still forgive us, he still accepts us, he still loves us. A lot of people get tripped up at this stage. They're sort of at a relational stage, but they feel that, you've got to just watch out, because if you don't confess every sin that you ever commit, then he might strike you down anyway. And so they're always keeping these long lists of things that they might have done wrong and confessing them, just in case they fall out of the relationship. I guess, there's nothing wrong with being careful with God, but what God... nothing wrong with being careful about our sins, I suppose, is a better way of expressing that. And being sure of the holiness of God. But the reason why Jesus died on the cross was so that we would know that regardless of what we do, he will always forgive us. There's no place of rejection. There's only acceptance and love from God once we start that relationship. There's a closeness based on our knowledge of another person. Naga and I have been married for 32 years. No, 33. We were married in 1980. So 33 years, 1 month, and 9 days. And I don't know whether I got that actually right or not. It's the 23rd, so I might be out a few days there. But anyway, 6 days. 23rd of August, 1980. We've been together for an awful long time, and we can communicate. 99% of the time, I know what Margaret is going to say or how she's going to react. Not always, don't always get it right, but I'm pretty good. You know, 30 years, 30-something years, you sort of work out a person. And I know, like we had a bit of an argument the other night, Friday night. We just had a bit of a disagreement. But, you know, I knew that wasn't the end of the relationship. I knew that, you know, we weren't going to split up over... No, it wasn't that at all, see? It was where she puts the petrol dockets when she buys them. It was, yeah, really deep. They're stored in the car, exactly where I know, you know, totally useless place. Anyway, we won't revisit the argument. It wasn't that important, but because we've gone through this circle of intimacy, I know that there is nothing so bad that I can do that, does that make sense? That she will say, well, that's it, yeah, get out of here, and vice versa. I know that she can do what she likes. Yeah, she can put the petrol lockers where she likes and I won't leave the end of her life. She can forget to put the things in the dishwasher and that's not the petrol dockets, that's the dishes in the dishwasher. You know. We have that intimacy and it's not just based on a commitment. It's not just based on the vows that we said on the 23rd of August 1980 at Wesley Uniting Church in Castle Hill. And it's not just based on the fact that we know each other pretty well. It's based on the fact that we have that commitment and that love for each other and that acceptance that says, you are more important to me than where you put your petrol dockets. We can train that out of her. But, he said that quite deliberately. Knowing that there would be a reaction. You know, there is no sin so great, so grievous that we cannot work it through. And it's like that with God. Once we know that we've entered into that intimacy of relationship with God, we know that God will keep on loving us and that we will keep on loving God regardless. You know, there are times when God doesn't come through for us in the way we would like. There are times when... yeah, I've prayed about things and what I prayed for hasn't come to pass. Well, guess what? I didn't give up on God because I love him regardless of what he does or doesn't do for me. And it's the same. God loves me regardless of what I do or what I don't do for him. And it's not something that you take for granted. It's something that you walk in love with. And that's the sort of relationship that God is looking for us. And when we say, do you know him? Do you know Jesus? We're not saying... You know, do you know those things at the bottom of the pyramid there? Do you know those facts? We're saying, do you know him? Do you have that relationship, that, you know, that that you know what pleases God and you know what displeases God. You know that his love for you is unending and unbreakable and are you able to walk in that in the depths of your heart? Do you know Jesus with that sort of depth of relationship? Here's the awesome thing. That's a picture of awesome. I know because when I put into Google awesome, that was one of the trillion pictures that came back. Here's the awesome thing. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the part of the Godhead. He is the Creator. Through him all things were created. when we talk about Jesus, we're not just talking about a human being who lived in Israel between the, you know, the years of -7 and 30 or whatever. We're not talking about a human being. We are talking about God in the flesh. We're talking about the God who created the whole universe with a single word. We're talking about the God who, you know, placed the stars in the galaxies. We're talking about the God who knitted you together in your mother's womb. We're talking about the God who knows everything. We're talking about the God who knows the entire history of every atom that has existed in the universe. We know God. We're talking about the God who could just click his fingers and we'd all be toast. And this God is the one who chooses to love us. This God is the one who chooses to call us into relationship with him. And this is the awesome thing. Last week I said something about prayer shouldn't be a drudgery, it's an audience with the King. Our relationship with Jesus is not something that should just be ordinary. It should be, wow, you know, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords invites me to walk with him. And not only does that, but breaks through everything that would stop that relationship from being possible. Who breaks through my sin, who breaks through my rebelliousness, who breaks through my self-centeredness and pays the price for all that and then invites me to come and walk with him. That is the Jesus that we're talking about. This is the one that we're saying, do you know him? He's not just a King of Kings. He's not just a creator. He's the creator, the King of Kings. And he's the one who wants to walk in relationship with you, who wants that intimate relationship with you. And that's what I find awesome about this thing. This is the thing that gets me jumping out of bed every morning saying, God. Okay, sometimes I don't jump out of bed. Sometimes I roll out of bed reluctantly. But still I think, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do with me today? And that's pretty awesome. So here's the question. Do you know him? Are you still at that bottom layer of knowledge about Jesus? You just know that he's there. You know there's stuff about him. Maybe you're further up the thing. Maybe at the level of commitment. But God wants to take us deeper or higher, higher. He wants us to be at that place where we have that intimate relationship with him. And it all comes down to us. It comes down to what we're prepared to invest into the relationship. See, in my marriage with Margaret, we've been together an awful long time, and there's an investment of time, there's an investment of wealth, there's an investment of emotions, there's an investment of everything, personal and commitment and a whole bunch of stuff. But it comes down to, what are we willing to give to each other? What are we willing to lay bare? What are we willing to trust? What are we willing to give? And that's the level of maturity, the level of intimacy that's the deciders of levels of intimacy that we have in our relationship with God. While ever we're holding stuff from back, God, while ever we're holding stuff back from God, we will never have that level of intimacy and closeness with God that he really wants for our lives. So, you know, while we're trying to... One of the big issues that a lot of people have is that they divide their lives into little chunks. Okay, this is my work bit, and this is my home bit, and this is my family bit, and this is my God bit. But God doesn't want us to have little bits. He wants us to have it all God. And so while you've got God shut off from your work bit, and while you've got God shut off from your family bit, then there's, you know, a bit of holding back there. God wants it all. That's why confessing our sins to God is so important. It's not that, you know, he didn't know it. We'd done the wrong thing until we told him. It's that we're sharing our brokenness with him. We don't confess for his benefit, we confess for our benefit. When we're totally honest and transparent before God, that's when we start to to walk down the paths of intimacy. So where are you today in that journey? Some people are just starting, some people are part of the way, some people are a lot further. But God wants us to keep on progressing down that cycle of intimacy. Keep on progressing, holding nothing back, just giving it all to Him. So what are you holding back from God, I guess, is another way of asking that same question. What are you holding on to that's not surrendered to God, that you don't want God to know about? What don't you want God to see about you because you're afraid that if He sees it, He will reject you because you're not good enough? Good news is that He's seen everything there is, and He loves you anyway, and there ain't nothing you can hide from God. So we might as well be honest about who we are before Him and just pursue Him with all our heart. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Father, I just thank You that You have called us into intimacy with You. And Lord, for many of us that's a difficult thought, because we've got this nagging suspicion that if You knew some things about us, then You wouldn't love us. And Lord, even though we we know in our heads that You know everything about us, still we live with this hope that You don't see that bit or that bit. Lord, help us to yield it all to You, to be open, transparent, totally without fear before You, knowing that because of Jesus, Lord, there's no shadow of turning, there's no possibility, no hint that You would ever reject us because of Jesus. And Lord, we just put our trust in Jesus again. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that hasn't taken that first step, deciding to follow Jesus, Lord, I pray that they would do that today. But wherever we are on that journey, Lord, give us the courage to take another step down that relational pathway, letting You take all of it, Lord. Lord, show us more about who You are. Give us a greater glimpse, Lord, of Your majesty, of Your glory, of Your holiness, of Your love, of Your power, of Your gentleness. And Lord, give us greater and greater revelations of who You are. And give us the courage, Lord, to give You a greater revelation of who we are also. Lord, deepen our trust in You, deepen our relationship, our walk, our fellowship with You, Lord. And help us to just give it all to You and hold nothing back. Hold nothing back. Amen.